Today, our guest is Maria Manso, and we'll be talking about autonomous consultations, technology, and healthcare. Don't go away.
O maior evento para os profissionais da indústria farmacêutica em Portugal é já no dia 6 de junho, em Lisboa. Ricardo Batista Leite e Daniel Guedelha são os keynote speakers de um dia que promete muitas surpresas. Todas as informações e inscrições em www.rethinkingpharma.pt.
Welcome to this episode of Cruzamento Podcast. In today's show, we'll talk about the intersection of technology and healthcare. My name is André Correia, and together with me is my friend and co-host, Daniel Guedelha.
Hello, and welcome to another show of Cruzamento Podcast. Today, we have with us Maria. Hello, Maria, and very welcome to this show.
Hello, very happy to be here with you.
Lovely. Our very first question, Maria, in 30 seconds, who is Maria?
So, Maria is the CEO and co-founder of Tecubi for 4 years now. Before that, my background is in biomedical engineering. I work as an engineer in Sao Paulo in Brazil when I lived there. But I wanted to also experience the business side of the healthcare industry. So I went back to Spain, originally from Spain, and I joined Medtronic, the medical device company, the marketing team in diabetes. And 5 years ago, I quit that to try to solve the biggest healthcare challenge in the world today, that is the capacity problem, and I started Tecubi. And here we are.
Solving the biggest problem of the world, Maria, and Tecubi. Let's put those two together. Can you explain in simple terms how Tecubi's technology and the organization benefit patients and who interacts with healthcare organizations?
Yeah, so maybe real quick what Tecubi is and then like some examples. So Tecubi is a medtech company. And what we are doing using technology is to enabling hospitals and healthcare systems to deliver high quality care, but more efficiently. So what we created is a platform to perform autonomous phone consultations. So we have a virtual clinical assistant that can call patients in an autonomous way and go through a conversation following a clinical pathway, and then structure that information and share it back, structure and prioritize to the healthcare team so they can focus on the patients that really need some intervention from their side. So what we are doing is, for example, all the follow-up consultations of chronic patients, let's say, instead of a nurse doing them, mm-hmm. our system can do all of them and prioritize the high-risk patients that really need to go to the hospital, for example.
Very interesting, Mary. So just it's coming to my mind too. Now it's very often the case when we call telco companies and so forth, we have a bot on the other side of our bank. Hello, can you please tell what is the issue? So what I sense here might be a little bit more complex. We are talking about healthcare. Could you break in? We guess that there are three tiers around this. Could you break them down, those different solutions for autonomous consultation, and give examples of each, please?
Yeah, of course. So I think what you are talking about is more like the IVR solutions that what we are more used to, that are the please press one or say yes or things like that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let's be honest, no one likes that. Like it's not a good experience, like not patient, but like a society, we don't like that. So we do not do that. We use conversational AI. What we also call like empathic conversational AI. What does that mean? It's true that a machine, as of today, cannot feel the empathy, but it can make the other person, like listening, feel that they've been listened to, that the system is understanding them. So we put a lot of effort in the design of the conversation. Solutions around doing consultation or autonomous consultation. So first, like humans doing the consultation, but that's the challenge. There are not enough humans, clinicals, to be able to do so at the scale. Then there are the IVRs, where the patient experience is not great. also, like the whole platform, in our case, the software as a medical device, so it's regulated, it's certified to be able to do clinical conversations that are also high risk. So it's not the same.
Oh, it's a medical device, right, Maria? It's a medical device.
That's it. It's a software as a medical device. And then there are other solutions that are more like text-based or app-based. It's patient portals where they can, like, patients can fill up questionnaires, things like that. The key challenge for those, because we do work with healthcare systems that have these solutions in place, is that the patient engagement is not great, right? In the best scenarios, it's like 20, 30% of patients engaging with the patient portal to fill up questionnaires and things like that. So in our case, we do have a consistent 90% patient engagement because it's a simple conversation. It's a phone call. You don't need to remember to enter the patient portal. You don't need to even like have a smartphone. It's just a simple phone call. So also with that, we reach all the population, not only the tech savvy.
And Marie, you are based in Spain, out of Spain. So your operations are there, but you also have some operations here in Portugal with a private hospital. Are there plans to expand into other regions or collaborate with additional healthcare providers? And can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so we started in Spain. Our biggest presence out of today is in Spain. We're also present in Portugal, in the UK, and starting also in other countries. But for example, in Portugal, we started working with CUF. We started working with them around a year ago because they have a great transformation team. They're looking for solutions to not only improve patient care, but also how the healthcare professionals can provide the best quality of care in a more like efficient way and with tools that help them in the daily operations. So we started working with them to like in the post ambulatory surgery unit, because they do, like, just to set also an example of how the technology can be used. They do have a nurses team that need to do a 24-hour follow-up after a ambulatory surgery. And the situation is that they need to find time in between like face-to-face consultations, the daily things that they need to do, the daily care, to reach out to patients, to reattempt to reach out to the patients, to answer any inbound call that they receive. So it was not very efficient. So what we did is to understand their process. They had a great protocol that the nurses needed to do. So we configure our system to follow up their protocol. So we do as they do the clinical workflow. They don't need to learn anything new, not the nurses. And they started using it. So now we started in Cascais. All the follow, if you do have a surgery in Cascais, probably it's us doing the follow-up. Now all the follow-up is done with our system. And then the percentage of patients that do need like a high alert, like some symptomatology, then the nurses do the follow up. But now they have that time to instead of trying to reach all of them to provide face to face care and focus on the high risk situations. And that went great in Cascais. Now we are running out to all the good hospitals. And as you know, we have a local team in Portugal. And if this is working in CUF, this works in all healthcare systems as well. So yes, we do have plans to scale also in Portugal.
It's quite interesting, Marie. And it was coming to my mind, obviously, when we talk about artificial intelligence technology, they are doing things that the humans used to do. So it's always the question of the jobs and so on. On the other hand, you mentioned the nurses. And it's interesting that we assume that the nurses are among the strongest advocates for this technology. Could you elaborate a little bit more here? We guess it's kind of obvious, but that you can talk about it. And do you have any in this ecosystem that would say, no, we are not really happy? So, yeah.
Yeah, so there's always that when we speak about AI, especially in healthcare, is this question like, is AI going to replace the doctors, to replace the nurses? Yeah. It's not going to replace or eliminate the nurses or the doctor's job. It's going to enable them to do like their job in a happier way first, and then in a more efficient way. So why nurses are the best advocate for our solution, and I'm sure other solutions, because they see the value day one. So before, they needed to, like, they were stressed to find time to reach out to patients. They felt that they were always late doing things. Now, day one, these 4 hours spent before trying to outreach are free to do all the other things that they need to do. And they also feel that they can provide a better care because they are not late. They're just in time because they don't know when to reach out. So if a solution, like any solution, do like a good implementation, like really understand that their clinical workflow, not forcing them to do something new, they love it because at the end, we're helping them.
And Maria, you're talking about the patients, you're talking about on the doctors, nurses, and other professionals. Let me then go back to the technology, to the platform, and to the algorithm, because we are talking about data that is feeding this algorithm, right? So what methods does TukuV employ to ensure the algorithm powering your technology is, as we are all expecting, of course, to be accurate, accurately fed and continually improved so it can keep learning?
Yeah. So as of today, the system has spoken with around 300,000 patients in many times. So a lot of conversation and a lot of data to train. We do use many technologies, but related to the question, the amazing one is a natural language process engine that is the algorithm that understands the patient and classify the response and shape back to the clinical team, to put it simple. So also, being a software as a medical device requires you to have very rigorous quality systems in place to make sure that the information that you share with the clinical team is accurate. So we have different layers of our quality processes. The first one is the algorithm, so that needs to have like a really high accuracy level before going into production. Then in real time, like during the conversation, then we have another layer that is another algorithm, a post-processing algorithm. So when the call finishes, this another process, like in seconds, that let's say that re-listen to the call and make sure that everything is properly leveled. And then there is the third layer, that is a human in the loop. If after those two processes, there are some conversations or just some specific questions that are not like 100% accurate, then our team manually listen to it and re-level it if necessary. And this is within minutes. And this is to make sure that all the information that we share with the clinical team is accurate. And of course, all the three processes, everything is utilized to retrain, if necessary, the algorithm. So it's continuously being fed with new level data.
Yeah, of course, that makes absolute sense. And when one thinks about healthcare, there is the word ecosystem that comes to mind. And the pharmaceutical industry and companies, they play an important role as well in the ecosystem, like MedTech as well. So how does TukuV collaborate with the pharmaceutical industry and companies? And what role do they play in your platform ecosystem?
Yeah. So exactly, we do work with healthcare systems, and also we are already working with top pharma companies and medical device industry as well, because the industry, what they want to become, or in some cases they already are partners to the healthcare systems to provide the best outcome for patients. And in some cases, is the therapy provides the best outcome, but it's not only the therapy; it's also the full pathway, and what we are doing in partnering with them is offering hospitals like a full pathway process. Like, we are helping to optimize the pathway, and then there is the therapies. So we partner with them mostly in different therapeutic areas, mostly chronic conditions, because we are enabling healthcare systems to identify patients that are not perfect or not okay in their current therapy. Or that they are with no therapy now, and they are having some outburst, for example, or a lot of symptomatology not well controlled, and they might benefit from some therapy. Not on a specific like brand name of a therapy or whatever, just that they are not okay. So by enabling the doctors to know, they can prescribe faster the best treatment for the patient. So like end-to-end solutions for specific therapeutic areas.
Interrompemos aqui esta excelente conversa porque estamos muito entusiasmados em anunciar a primeira edição do Bootcamp Cruzamento. Prepara-te para mergulhar no cruzamento entre a saúde e a tecnologia, com a possibilidade única de aprender com líderes portugueses destas áreas. Além disso, vais ainda ter a oportunidade de assistir ao primeiro live de um episódio deste podcast. Para mais informação, visita-nos nas nossas redes sociais. E por agora, de volta à entrevista.
In all those solutions, Maria, we'll have the patient at the center. So we're talking about patient centricity. From the feedback you are getting from your users and in the patients in the everyday interactions, how can patients distinguish between speaking with a virtual assistant versus a human? And does it matter at this point in time?
Yes. So first of all, they do need to know, like legally, they do need to know if they are speaking with a human, like a nurse or a doctor, or a virtual assistant. So when they do have like an onboarding from a healthcare team, they tell them, like, now you're going to receive the follow-up call from our new virtual clinical assistant. It's a part of our team, and she will let us know how are you. And if something is wrong, we will reach out to you. Then when the system introduces herself in the phone call, she's saying, like, I'm the virtual assistant of your team, Fastcats, for example. So they do need to know, but it's true, and sometimes they forget. So we do have patients that have been monitored for more than 3 years. And when they pick up the phone, like the name of the virtual assistant is Lola. So when they pick up the phone, they say, hey, Lola, how are you? And it's like, okay. And when they say goodbye, bye, Lola, have a nice week. And it's crazy because they do know, but it's lovely at the same time. Like they engage with her because they feel that someone is caring for them.
It
is beautiful.
Maria, taking on that, you mentioned the empathic conversation, which I guess it's a feature that you say it's distinguished your company. So can you just elaborate a little bit more on that one? Because it's very interesting and you are just giving one example of that.
Yeah, so comparing to the IVRs, again, that is the most common. When you answer a question, like, for example, how are you feeling today? And you say, I'm not feeling quite well. I have a lot of pain. IVR will say, okay, like press 5 or whatever. And next question. So in our case, how we will answer will be something more similar to, I'm really sorry to hear that. I hope you get better soon. Can you tell me more about that pain? What's the intensity of that pain? Where are you feeling that pain? Like, human-like conversation. That's why also we do have that high level of engagement, why they do like to speak with her, because they don't know it's a machine, but they don't need to feel they're speaking with a cold machine.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And it makes me think about expanding, and you mentioned you coming to Portugal, to CUF, and potentially expanding. So we are really curious to understand now more strategy of the company. How does Tucuvi envision the expansion and therefore impacting more patients, let's say in the next 5 years? What are your plans? Yeah, as a startup, right, Maria? You're still a startup.
Yeah, when do you stop being a startup? I don't know yet.
Good one. 1 billion. No, 1 billion. Mid-sized companies, not a mid-sized company.
Yeah, huge companies are still startups. So let's see. So I see two ways of impacting more patients. One is expansion to more hospitals and new countries. And the other one is new care pathways as well. So now we are working in 25, 26 different care pathways. We do work mostly like in the chronic care space, but also there's high volume situations. So we aim to, like, based on the conversation that we have with healthcare systems, there are hundreds of pathways where we can have an impact. We can help patients and healthcare professionals. So we aim to expand the number of care pathways that we operate in the hospitals that we are already working, and obviously open new markets. As you know, open new markets is not as simple, and it takes time, it takes effort, and a lot of knowledge. We are now in 3 countries, starting a 4th one. And 5 years, I don't know if we will have the time. These countries that we are now and expanding are big enough that I don't know in 5 years we will have time to expand to new ones, but at least be really present and have a huge penetration in those.
And that's quite a big leap across the ocean. Maria, I'm very curious and I need to ask this question. What does Tukuvi stands for and why the name?
Tukuvi is a very Spanish name, okay? But as I know that most of the listeners are Portuguese, you do know some Spanish, better than Spanish, no Portuguese. So Tukuvi stands for like tu cuidador virtual. That is like your virtual caregiver, your virtual nurse. But yeah, it's very Spanish, and sometimes it's not easy to pronounce it to people that is not like Spanish or Portuguese, so it's a challenge sometimes. And some hospitals do not know, they are using us, like they have technology in their hospital and they do not know Tukuvi. They know Lola, that is the virtual assistant. Yeah, Lola is helping us to achieve whatever. So that is great because they feel like, okay, Lola is helping us as a team member. Great. Not Tukuvi. Doesn't matter if you don't know Tukuvi.
You go there with your guys. Hey, let's talk about Tukuvi and say, who is Tukuvi? We have Lola.
Yeah, who are you? That's it. When we go to congresses, that's what we hear. Yeah.
That speaks a lot to the empathy element. Anyway, just kind of informally as well, following through in this startup kind of concept, we have nowadays a very vibrant startup ecosystem as well in Portugal. So lots of our listeners, they are as well at unis and direct level. So just to give a bit of a size, how many people are you? How has been the journey? And one curiosity is, as you enter different countries, what are the 1-2 big hurdles, maybe regulation, that you face when you're entering the different countries? So maybe several questions here.
Yeah. First one. We are now 27 people. Okay. Most of the team has always been product and tech. Maybe I'm a bit biased, but we have a lot of biomedical engineers as well. My co-founder is also a biomedical engineer, but we needed to build like a great product. The first 2 years, we were not commercializing. We were building like a great product, certified, not only about medical device, like regulation, but also data security, like everything. We will be expanding team soon. But more on the commercial side now, we are scaling on the commercial piece. Second question was around, sorry, can you say that?
So the science, it would be lovely to hear. Exactly.
Yeah. It's been fun, I'd say. So I think starting something new, also something that, like, we are the only company in Europe doing this. Certified as a supplier medical device capable of doing autonomous medical consultation.
Still today.
In the European Union, yes. So, which is great because you are building something new, but you do need to do like a lot of education. For example, to healthcare systems, they've never buy something like this. So in the public health system that works with tenders, how can we ask for something like this? So
I hear.
It's a great challenge. It takes time to be the first, but it's also like a fun journey. And when entering new markets, that is also key, like how, not only the regulation, that of course that is the first thing that you need to look at, also the size of the market, does it make sense for us, but also how digital are they, how open they are to introduce new technology, something that we face not in other countries, like in Spain. There are hospitals that are super, super digitized and super open to innovation and to AI, but then there are others that are paper-based. So even though the leaders of the organization love what we are doing, they say, okay, we cannot educate fast enough the healthcare teams to go from paper-based to autonomous AI. So it's a process. Please, patients, we want to keep in touch because it will happen, but we are not there yet. So when you study other countries, you also need to be there. These past few years and the years to come, I'm traveling a lot and I spend a lot of time in different countries, speaking with a lot of hospitals, with healthcare systems, with patients as well, like to understand if they are open to this type of solutions or it's too early yet. So I guess also being there is really, mm-hmm. very important. First ourselves, and then, as we've done in Portugal, local people, local teams that really understand how the market works.
That's quite interesting. And always when you talk, there is lots of energy, and I'm pretty sure our listeners will get that as well through the voice or the image. Yeah. And as such, Maria, we know, as a matter of fact, our listeners, lots of them, they're looking into job opportunities as well in startups like yours, technology and healthcare space. So in case any of our listeners are curious and want to join your company, what would you advise them to do? Are there any skill sets you are more keen on getting?
So, well, all the job opportunities that we have are usually in LinkedIn. So follow us, okay. And you can keep up. So that skill sets. If you've noticed my energy, all of Tukubers are very energized because okay. We do need to as well. Like,
including as Lola. Mentioned,
including Lola.
Including Lola.
yes. So what we look for are people that are really looking forward to like make a change. Because it's not like, yes, we do have some playbooks and ways to do things that are constantly changing. Mm-hmm. But we're creating new playbooks onto how to deliver healthcare. So are you willing to do that? It's not like you just follow this and then go home and sleep. No, you will probably keep thinking about this all the time, how we can do this better, how we can impact more patients. Also, we are a reasonable size now, like 27, but still, we do many things. Like I, as CEO, I do many things that are not of a top company CEO probably is more focused. And it's great because you can learn also to develop your skill set as well and to collaborate with other team members. So that attitude of willingness to do stuff and to grow.
That's fantastic, Maria, and to everyone that is listening to us and in hearing and watching us, then definitely check in LinkedIn. The details will be on the show notes anyway. Maria, we're coming to the end of this lovely conversation. We would like to thank you for your time and for
thank
your
you.
Availability as well. So today we talked about Tukubi. Now we know what it stands for. We've met Lola, and we've also understood the strategy of this company. We've discussed patients at the center, artificial intelligence, the importance of data and bringing all this together, and of course, creating the empathy between patients, the users, and the technology. So this is the very last question, and in case our audience wants to know more about you, apart from LinkedIn, where can they find you online?
Mostly LinkedIn, actually. I don't have time to have any other things. The website will have some information, but yeah, I do think LinkedIn is the best way. And if any of you are in Madrid at some point, happy to meet you and to introduce you to the rest of the team.
Thank you so much, Maria, for making time today with us. To our listeners, thanks for tuning in. And don't forget, the ones that are watching us as well, to hit the like button and subscribe to our podcast to the latest episodes. Also, connect with us on LinkedIn, Instagram, and your favorite podcast apps. Also, check out on our show notes. We have lots of information there. So please just listen and watch that very carefully. And see you soon in our next podcast show. See you, and thank you, Maria, once again.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Bye.